This is Chapel for February 2nd, 1982. Dr. Tal Bonham is the speaker.
Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Let us turn to hymn number 48 and stand together as we sing, please. 48. Let us remain standing for prayer. O God of mercy and God of might, although you're very high, you take notice of the lowly. And you know the haughty from afar. We come to you because there is none greater to whom we can go. You have the words of eternal life. You are the source of all life. Speak to us through your servant today. Speak to us through this hymn and through the anthem. Give us hearts that are receptive. May your word fall on good, rich, productive ground and bring forth much fruit in us and through us in your church and in the world. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Today is Ohio Day on our campus. We have two guests from the Ohio Baptist Convention working with Southern Baptist in that state. Reverend Orville Griffin, who directs evangelism for Ohio, is here. And so is Dr. Tal Bonham, the Executive Secretary Treasurer of that state convention. And Dr. Bonham will be speaking to us in a few moments after the anthem. Let me say just this word about him. He was director of evangelism for Southern Baptist in the state of Oklahoma for 6 years. That is when I first met him and came to appreciate his ministry immensely in the field of evangelism. He then moved 2 years ago to Ohio and is now leading that convention in a very aggressive program of church planting, missions, and evangelism. He did his doctoral work in the field of ethics at Southwestern Seminary under Dr. Maston and also working with Dr. Scudder. And we are very privileged to have him speak to us today, and we welcome you, Dr. Bonham, and Mr. Griffin, to our campus. Following the chapel service, there will be a reception with Dr. Bonham and Mr. Griffin in the great room of Broy Hill. All of you are invited to attend that reception.
My presence shall be with me. My presence shall be with me. Thank you so much for that beautiful music. And Dr. Miles, thank you for that introduction. And I express my gratitude to Dr. Lally for inviting us to be here today, and looking forward to seeing him and some of you that I've known, both professors and members of the staff for many years, and a few students that have some Ohio ties. I never come to a seminary that I don't recall what all happened to me at a seminary. I met my wife after 3 years of study and waiting at seminary, and while I was in graduate school, she finally made it to seminary looking for a husband. I was looking for a wife, and I go home from meetings like this, and I tell her things have really changed on seminary campuses. First of all, there are more girls, and the girls are all better looking. In fact, at our seminary, when I first went there, the girls' dormitory had a beauty contest, and nobody won. Now I go back to speak at that seminary, and the girls tell me we had a man eating lion in the dorm, the boys' dorm, and he starved to death. So they recanting. Things have changed, and it's good to be with you today. And I want to focus your attention this morning for a few moments around Matthew 5, verse 13, in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus simply looked at his disciples and said, "You are the salt of the earth." It was early in the morning when he said these words. He had spent the night in prayer. He'd come down from the Mount of Prayer and gathered his disciples on the flat plateau overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Some scholars say that perhaps they were sitting there with their backs to the sea, and he was sitting there taking the position of the teaching rabbi, speaking to his apostles, and being the master teacher that he was. Some scholars believe that he must have paused between verses 12 and 13 of Matthew 5 because the thoughts changed from the Beatitudes to the parables of salt and light. And if that be true, perhaps his eyes wandered along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and there he would notice a familiar sight early in the morning. The ships have been out fishing all night, and now they're crating their catch. There's a husky, brawny fisherman dipping his calloused hand into a salt barrel and bringing it up brim full of salt. And he throws a handful of salt on the bottom of a wooden crate and then puts a layer of fish on top of the salt, and a layer of salt, a layer of fish, a layer of salt, and finally tacks the wooden lid on the crate and takes it to town. Perhaps the disciples noticed that Jesus was looking at something behind their backs, and they too turned around to see that sight. And then they looked back into his eyes, and they said to them, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men." I've come today to visit with you for a few moments about a beautiful part of God's earth that needs an awful lot of salt. It is called the Buckeye State of Ohio. Within one day's drive of my front door is 2/3 of the population of America and 70% of the purchasing power of our nation. Within one day's drive of my front door. Ohio is a beautiful state. It is a large state. In fact, there are 11 million people in Ohio, and our home mission board statisticians tell us that 7 million of these people are unsaved without Christ. Have you ever wondered what 7 million lost people might look like? If they could march by on this stage this morning and let you see them one at a time, at one per second, at 60 per minute, at 3,600 per hour, at 84,000 per day, you would have to sit here 80 days and 80 nights just to watch 7 million people walk by. Southern Baptist work in Ohio is relatively new. We've been there only 28 years. And in 28 years, we have something like less than 600 congregations and about 130,000 members. For those figures to come to life, let me put it this way. In the state of Ohio, there are as many unsaved people as there are in the states of North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia combined. And yet in North Carolina and South Carolina and Virginia, there are 6,587 Southern Baptist churches to reach the same number of unsaved people we're trying to reach in Ohio with less than 600 Southern Baptist churches. In the state of Ohio, there are about the same number of unsaved people that there are in the states of Georgia and Florida combined. And yet the states of Georgia and Florida combined have 4,401 Southern Baptist churches to reach the same number of unsaved people we're trying to reach with less than 600 Southern Baptist churches in Ohio. In the states of Tennessee and Maryland and Alabama and Mississippi and West Virginia combined, these five states combined, there are less lost people than there are in the state of Ohio. And yet in Tennessee, Maryland, Alabama, Mississippi, and West Virginia, there are 8,144 Southern Baptist churches to reach less unsaved people than we're trying to reach with less than 600 Southern Baptist churches in the state of Ohio. When Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth," I believe he was sharing some truths and some facts that have great significance for this message today. And the first one is this: salt does its best work when it is scattered. In fact, unless the salt is scattered, it cannot do its work at all. And unless the salt is scattered, it is often insipid and sickening. Salt must be mined and refined and scattered. There's plenty of it. I took a tour of a salt mine a few years ago, and I learned that in the average gallon of seawater, there's a fourth of a pound of salt. And one scholar said if you could dry up all the oceans of the world, it would leave a salt deposit large enough to build a wall all the way around the world at the equator. And the wall, he said, would be 1 mile thick and 180 miles high. And that solid wall of salt, 1 mile thick and 180 miles high, he said, would indeed be long enough to reach around the world at the equator. If you could dry up all the oceans of the world, there would be that much salt. But salt must be mined, and salt must be refined, and salt must be scattered. And I'm here today to say that in Southern Baptist life today, the salt is not being scattered. There are 12,000 students in Southern Baptist seminaries and colleges and Bible institutes preparing for the ministry today, 12,000 students, and about 2,500 graduate every year, but only about 1,000 Southern Baptist pulpits are vacated every year by death or disability or retirement. That means that there's a surplus of 1,500 Southern Baptist preachers who have no place to go if they're planning to go to previously established Southern Baptist churches. Last year in Southern Baptist life, we gained 201 churches net. Our Southern Baptist seminaries gained 275 pastoral candidates. Some believe that over 200 other young men entered the ministry directly without enrolling in a seminary, so we gained 201 new churches and 475 new pastoral candidates. Glenn Edwards of Louisiana said recently, "From the standpoint of sheer volume, requests from men seeking post of service outnumber inquiries from search committees 5-1 in Louisiana. When one of our churches become pastorless," he said, resumes and recommendations virtually inundate the search committee. It is not uncommon for a church of reasonable size to receive in excess of 50 resumes from various sources when a pulpit is vacant in our state. Another Southern Baptist leader said recently, Larry Rose, executive director of the Center of Urban Church Studies, Baptists need new churches in pioneer mission areas, therefore new pastors. We have too many pastors, he said, in the wrong places. That's another way of saying the salt is not being scattered across our nation. Robert Braun in your own state of North Carolina said recently, if everybody wants to go to First Church, there will not be enough pastors and pastorates to go around. And then he said, we need to re-accelerate the call to pioneer missions. In the state of Ohio, we have a dream. And the dream is that we might reach that state for Christ in our generation. And the scheme for the dream is simply this: plant strong New Testament Southern Baptist churches out across that state. We have a little slogan we call 104 Miracles. And our goal is in 1981 and 1982 to see a new church started somewhere in the state, a new church start at least once every week for the 104 weeks of 1981 and 1982. It is a miracle because a miracle is something God does. A program is something a man may do, but a miracle is something that only God can do. And the first year of 1981, our reports have just come in, and we've discovered we've had 42 new church starts in 52 weeks. And so our goal in 82 is to see 62, and our directors of missions believe that, yes, by the end of 1982, we will have seen 104 miracles. The salt needs to be scattered to places like Ohio. If you want to go someplace that's going to be a mission field, 10 years from now, perhaps you want to settle in the Sun Belt. But if you want to go someplace that is a mission field today and will be even more of a mission field 10 years from now, you might consider settling in the Snow Belt. Salt does its best work when it is scattered. The second truth I've learned about salt is this, that a little bit of salt goes a long, long way. A little bit goes a long way. His name is Tom Terrio. And 14 years ago, he moved directly from the seminary to the town of Girard, Ohio. No church there. Had a handful of people that met in his home. They met there for a while, then moved to the school. They met in the school for several years, but today they meet in their own property. In a church building valued at over $200,000, he has a membership of over 200, and you might say, well, over 200 members from a handful in 14 years doesn't sound like too great a growth, but in that same 14 years, Tom Terrio's church in Girard, Ohio, has started four other churches as well. A little bit of salt goes a long, long way. His name is Peter Miller. He came directly from the seminary. He was retired military and spent 3 years in the seminary and came on to Ohio, never having pastored a church. He said to the directors of missions, how do you do it? And the director of missions said, well, you just knock on every door. You just wear out shoe leather visiting people and wear out your knees praying and let God do the rest. He moved to East Conneaut, 15,000 people in that town. He's a little short, bald-headed guy. He looks like Boss Hogg. And he knocked on every door in that city, 15,000 people. And he met everybody in the town. That was 6 years ago. Recognized his church this past week as being in the top 10 churches in baptisms in Ohio this past year.
His church plant now sits on a beautiful piece of property that will take care of over 300 in Sunday school and worship. And in 6 years' time, Peter Miller, who never pastored a church, but knocked on every door and has knocked on every door every year after that, has built a church from nothing. A little bit of salt goes a long way. 8 years ago, Harold Whitlock moved to Wauseon, Ohio. Now, Harold Whitlock was no newcomer to the ministry. He was 55 years of age when he moved there. But he said, you know, I want the last 10 years of my ministry to be something different. He said, I want God to use me to begin a church. And he went into this small city with no Southern Baptist witness, no evangelical witness, 6,000 people. And he began to knock on doors. He rented the YMCA for $5 the next Sunday. He put an ad in the newspaper and on the radio and said, we're going to start a Southern Baptist church in the YMCA next Sunday. And sure enough, nobody showed up but him and his wife. But he didn't give up. The next Sunday, a Mennonite family came. They were fine Christians, a man, his wife, and a teenage son. And after the service was over, they decided they'd go home and eat the noon meal with the pastor. And there in the pastor's home, which was and is today a mobile home, sitting on an acre of land on the outskirts of the city, the pastor of that church led their teenage son to Christ. They decided to go back to the Mennonite church for their son to be baptized. So the next Sunday, the pastor and his wife met again alone. But they didn't give up. For 4 years, they met in that YMCA. And today, sitting on 3 acres of choice property on the highway going through Wauseon, Ohio, is a church auditorium that will take care of 300 and a church education building that will take care of 300, built and debt-free. And I preached in that church the other day, and it was packed to capacity. And when Harold Whitlock moved to that city, he went to the banker to borrow money to buy a mobile home, and the banker said, well, what's your business? He said, I'm a Baptist preacher. He said, where's your church? He said, I didn't hear yet. But it's there now. A little bit of salt goes a long way. I call it the Big Mac Attack Church because it was born in McDonald's, you might say. Just a few weeks ago, the pastor of the sponsoring church was not a large church, under 100 in Sunday school, but the pastor of that church led his church to begin a new mission in Lancaster, Ohio, a city of 40,000 people with only one Southern Baptist church in it. And so the pastor and another man were meeting at McDonald's for the noon meal after surveying the city that morning. And the pastor said, you know, if I had someone to preach, I believe we could start a mission tomorrow. There's a Catholic lady who's offered her home to be used if we'd like to use it to begin our church in. And the other man said, well, I was to preach in Toledo tomorrow. I've been canceled out. I can preach. And so that day, the next day, they met in the lady's home with 9 people. And they said, by the grace of God, a Southern Baptist church is going to start here in this city. And 6 of those people joined by letter and 2 by baptism that morning in that home. And then they called a pastor who came directly from the seminary. They met in the Republican headquarters for a few weeks. They've now rented the school. And a strong church is going to grow out of that home with 9 people just a few weeks ago. A little bit of salt goes a long way. One of our pastors heard I was coming to this city. He said to me, I hope you see Dr. Randall Lally and thank him for $1,500 that his church sent in 1968 to me to pay my house rent, to begin a church in Cornersburg Baptist Church near Youngstown, Ohio. And Melvin Jones said, I hope you'll tell Dr. Lally that the encouragement of that church and the $1,500 they gave me to rent a house for the first few months and start a church in. I hope you'll tell them that a church now sits on that property and many people are being reached for Christ in the Cornersburg Baptist Church in Youngstown, Ohio. A little bit of salt goes a long way. But did you know that salt can lose its savor, its usefulness? There are 2 ways that happens. First of all, when it gets dirt mixed into it, it loses its usefulness. And the early Anabaptists read this verse and took it literal. And when one of them lived in sin, they not only came down the aisle and rededicated their lives before God and the church, but when the service was over, they walked to the back door and they said, as they lay down in the doorway, walk on me, for I am salt which hath lost its savor. I do not recommend such a literal interpretation of that verse. But friends, it is possible for the believer to lose his usefulness when unconfessed sin stays in his life. There's another way that salt loses its savor. When it absorbs moisture and dries out and hardens, salt loses its usefulness. And when the salt dries out and hardens, the heart hardens too. And the attitude changes. The attitude may have been, "Here is my life, Lord. I want to give it." But when the salt hardens, the attitude changes to, "It's my life. I'll do what I want to." The attitude may have been, "Wherever he leads, I'll go." But when the salt loses its usefulness, the attitude changes to, "The salary and benefits must meet my requirements before I will consider going anywhere." The attitude may have been, "My all I owe to thee, O Lord," but the attitude changes to, "My denomination owes me a place of service that will meet my needs." And the last thing I want to say is this, that if salt loses its savor, if it loses its usefulness, there's nothing that can take its place. For salt tastes only like salt. There's no salt substitute. There's nothing to take its place. And if the salt loses its usefulness, and if somehow or another Southern Baptists lose the concept of the scattered salt, we'll lose our nation. We'll lose Ohio. We'll lose our world. We're here today for a few moments, like what you might call a Baptist Marine Corps recruiting group, trying to find just a few good men and women. I don't know whether God will lead you to how or not. I don't know where God is going to lead you or what you're going to be doing in His service. But I pray that wherever you serve Him, that you'll be His best salt, wherever that is. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of proclaiming the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and studying his teachings. We ask you to bless the words we've said here today. Bless the meditations of our heart and direct our lives. Thank you for these students and the faculty and staff of this school. Direct them, we pray, in Jesus' name.